Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey there, welcome to the Dr. Nina Show here on LA Talk Radio. I am your host, Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, and I am here to help you stop counting calories, carbs, and fat grams so you can get to a healthy weight and get on with your life, because that is what it's all about, right? We want you to wake up and think about your day, not your diet. And I have a very special guest with me today. If you'd like to call in, I'm going to tell you about him in a moment. If you'd like to call into the show, the number is 818-602-4929. For those of you who are watching on Instagram Live, I'm going to turn the camera over to him. Yay! My special guest, one of my most favorite guests ever on the show, is back. Yes.
What?
Yes.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, yes, yes. Craig Ramsey, internationally known as one of the most entertaining fitness experts in the industry.
I think my mom wrote that part.
Well, your mom knows you well, and yeah. I would have to say that I agree. So, mom knows best, absolutely. He's very humble, as you can see. But his approach to wellness is one of the most unique and effective ways of promoting health, movement, and self-care. Colin Farrell called him a genius.
And he's beautiful.
And he's not your mom.
He's not my mom.
We can trust him.
I wish he was my agent or manager. Can you imagine Colin Farrell? That is one good-looking guy.
You would never get anything done. Or you'd get a lot done.
I think I would get a lot done.
You'd get a lot done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be some good synergy.
I'm with you there. Sharon Osbourne.
Moving on to Sharon Osbourne.
How do I go from Colin Farrell to Sharon Osbourne? But there it is. She says you're brilliant.
Yeah,
she's right.
She was really sweet. I was really shocked with how she took to me, because sometimes it's either like yes or no with her.
Yeah, she loves you or she does not love you.
It's
right.
A yes. From
okay.
Her. Yeah.
Yes. Excellent. That says something, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You are one of People Magazine's top fitness experts. I could go on and take up many, many minutes of this show talking about all the amazing things that you have done, Craig. But, you know, you are all over Bravo, all over Bravo. You are a triple threat. You are on.
Triple threat means for Broadway people, it's like singer, dancer, actor.
Singer, dancer, actor, and ballet dancer, because he just did a season in the Winnipeg Ballet.
I went back.
And in fact, we're going to talk about his experience. Mm-hmm. In fact, let's just talk. Anyway, he's also, and I'm not done, Renaissance man here. He is also an author. He wrote The Anatomy of Stretching and The Anatomy of Muscle Building, and he obviously knows what he's talking about.
What
do
you mean?
Damn.
Flexing. You have to jump on the line.
You have to
get a taste
of
that.
Yes, it is quite
oh my God,
something.
That sounded so conceited. I can't believe I just said that.
No.
I'm like, jump on that live to be able to see me physically.
You are, because you practice what you preach, and you are a muscle builder person.
Well,
and
thank
you, look
you.
It.
I appreciate that, but actually the reason why I do promote that is because I have a great balance. I am not that kind of trainer or fitness expert that packages their meals a week in advance and puts it in Tupperware. I think if anything, if we can sum up my bio in terms of fitness, it's I'm practical and I'm relatable. And most of my clients are such good friends of mine. If you guys watch Shaws of Sunset, like Mercedes Javid is one of my best friends. And people are always shocked at who pairs well with me with fitness, because they assume I'm a Venice Gold's bodybuilder, trainer type of guy. And although I can handle that, and I have, including sports teams and such, I love just being practical and fitting fitness into everyone's life.
And you're a really nice person.
So thank you.
You're not arrogant. You're not someone who's like, hey, I am what I look like. And you have a balanced perspective in all areas of your life, which I really appreciate, since I promote balance. And you are not you know, someone who says, hey, you can't eat this and, you know, go on this diet
right.
and restrict yourself. And
well, because then no one's going to share with me exactly what they eat so that I can't, you know, then I can't give them the tricks of the trade or I can't modify what they're doing and create a healthy journey for them that because it's all about isolation and guilt and all of that kind of stuff. So I just erase that.
So you mentioned tricks of the trade.
Yeah.
Mm. Talk to me.
Tricks of the trade. I am always amazed when I see fitness professionals out there and trainers and such, where they're coming up with just these basic weird programs for their clients, but they never truly share what works for us in the industry. And I think maybe that comes from, like, when I took ACSM, the American Council of Sports Medicine training, I was really frustrated with that certification because I'm sitting in the class and almost every time I rose my hand to say something, they said, well, no, you can't train someone that has eating disorders or that autoimmune disorders. You know, they have to get approval from the doctor and their doctor has to lead that. I said, but they're not going to. And we have to still be accessible to people in general, because if someone is searching me out, they're not perfect. They're not leading the best life. And they said, nope, you can't do it. And I said, this is not for me. So I'm just the one that shares what possibly is not the healthiest options, but they're the ones that get us our physique goals. They're the ones that give us a healthier lifestyle, which is a huge difference. Because it's not an all or nothing. In 2019, everyone's stressed out, especially politically.
Oh, don't even get me started.
It's too early for a glass of wine, so let's not talk about
it. It may never be too early for a glass of wine.
That's right.
But yeah, you also are not about deprivation, because as mm-hmm. we know, deprivation leads to wanting that more. And there's this whole new, it's called orthorexia.
I don't know that.
Orthorexia is, it's not a DSM diagnosis, but I think it will be. And it's when people take healthy eating too far.
Oh, yeah.
I write about it in my Food for Thought book about how people just, they talk about clean eating and they take it just way too far.
So well, they do.
So that they become hyper-focused on everything has to be natural and organic and perfect. And then they go to further and further levels of that, and it becomes an obsession and a preoccupation.
Oh, what for
balance?
Sure. And it also affects the physique, because our bodies are built to adjust and take in toxification. Like we're actually able, it jumpstarts our metabolism, and it actually helps your body to have cheat meals. That's what I tell people. I'm like, well, no, if you had that, then this is what your workout is going to look like, because it's going to give you more energy. And this is why the carbs and sugar are there to, you know, benefit you. But you just have to implement the proper fitness programming to match what you deemed as a cheat and guilt and all this stuff. So that's what I mean, how I just love to deliver the tricks of the trade.
And I love that you are all about balance.
Yeah.
Because it's like when people are like, I didn't eat sugar for 6 months. And then what happens?
You're going to binge on
sugar or whatever it is that you don't eat. So you got to find a way to have balance, because otherwise it's good food, bad food, which translates into good me, bad me. Okay. Yeah. So let's talk about your personal experience recently.
Yeah.
To go to the ballet to be, oops, wait, we have a caller.
Okay. Caller.
And I know who the caller is. Hi, Nicole. Hi. Welcome to the show. Welcome.
Hi, Dr. Nina. How are you?
I'm fine. So do you have a question for Craig?
I do have a question for Craig. Hi, Craig. I was listening. And hi, I heard that you said that it's important to match your diet with your workout routine. And I guess my question is, I know that, you know, they say abs are made in the kitchen. I love working out, but I find that when I work out more, like if I'm doing cardio dance every day, I'm more hungry. So then I end up eating more than I would eat if I'm not exercising as hard. So I was wondering if you could like give a summary or like a recommendation. I know everyone's different, but like a recommendation on a good, like balanced, like workout, like Monday cardio, Tuesday Pilates, Wednesday yoga, whatever, just to like,
no,
so
for
that
sure.
It's moderate and.
And Nicole, I love that you're working out and especially like you're taking dance, you said, like a cardio dance?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Zumba. Such a great workout. Zumba. Zumba is a fantastic workout because it is slightly muscle fatiguing at the same time as cardio based. So it's the muscle burn that's actually making you more hungry and drawn to hunger. But it also, chances are, too, because it's not that demanding on the muscle structure of your body, you're probably thirsty, too. A lot of people will think of hunger and they're actually thirsty. So my recommendation always is if you've replenished yourself after a workout and you've had a shake or you've had an appropriate meal and you're still hungry, you need to quench your thirst. And a great way of doing that is like throw some lemon in your water and make it an enjoyable tasting experience as it's going down. And also, too, unsweetened vanilla almond milk is, I think, our best friend. So as again, as long as I don't want to suggest people not like starve themselves after their workouts and such, but if you're reasonably eating good portions and healthy options that we'll get into later, because I have a really good example of that, of what you can do, then just have a swig of unsweetened vanilla almond milk. So many people go to the fridge and they just wander over there and they'll keep opening it up to see if anything's changed and if anything is edible. Like, oh, wait, no, this is what I want. And then like, no, I really don't. So they close it. Go and have a swig of unsweetened vanilla almond milk. It will really do a body well. Does that help?
Okay.
And work out whenever you feel like it.
I already drink a lot of water, so I know that like I'm hydrated, but I do like the almond milk idea. I could try that. And then is it cool to do cardio every day or like,
yes, we need to move our bodies like a Zumba. You could practically do every day. I mean, if you're tired and your Achilles tendons are sore and all of that, then yes, you do need to take a day off. You need to take a warm bath, Epsom salts, and, or I always say massage, is key.
Okay.
And you can do that yourself as well. A lot of people forget that. Like if you're taking Zumba, it's chances are it's from the knees down that you're exhausted and your muscle fatigue. Okay. So take some lotion and rub your feet at night. Or if you have someone special in your life, that's where I recommend that Craig the trainer comes in and fitness programs that to be a joint effort.
Okay, cool.
Can I jump in and just say one more thing? Maybe when you're working out, Nicole, the reason you're hungry is because you're working out and you're not eating enough. And make sure that you're also eating enough, because hunger is a sign.
Do you have energy during your workout?
It depends. Sometimes no.
Dr. Nina knows. So she's nailing it. If your workout is compromised and you don't have a lot of energy, then chances are you're not taking in enough to
justify. But then it makes me think, is it better just not to work out or not to work out as hard and just not eat as much? They say abs are made in the kitchen.
Well,
you know, that's my question.
Abs aren't made by starving yourself either. I think that that's important to note. Like the meals that we'll be talking about, this Anna Rose Fit and Healthy meals, that really helped me lose my 30 pounds in 1 month. Mind you, my case is so different because I had so much muscle mass that weighs a lot. So it's easy to take off muscle when you're a bodybuilder like me. Right. But the portion size, the calories and all that, not that I want to create a community of calorie counters, because that adds a whole new layer of a psychological issue with food. But if we're aware of the glycemic index foods and things like that that are lower calorie, that's the way to go for building abs, not starving yourself.
And that's exactly why the Biggest Loser people have mostly all regained all the weight they lost.
Yeah,
because they starve themselves, mess up their metabolisms. You have to eat enough and work out.
And it's also, if we're talking Biggest Loser, I think the thing that's most obnoxious for me as a trainer is that the trainers themselves don't talk about how, okay, this is why we're putting you through absolute hell in a few months. And it's because we're saving your life. In these few months, we have less of a chance of you dying, getting into shape, than we do if you're prolonged with this obesity issue that you have.
Not that I'm comparing Nicole to anyone on The Biggest Loser. Let me just say that. But yes, and I agree. But this idea of starving yourself as the way to go versus starvation, as you just said, is not healthy. And it is not a good way even for sustained weight loss.
Yep. And keep going hard, Nicole. Thank you for your question.
Yeah, thank you for your response. I'll continue to listen. Thanks, Dr. Nina. Thanks, Craig.
Bye.
Thanks, Nicole.
All right. Bye.
Can we talk about callers for a second?
Yeah.
Calling in. Okay, so I was listening to your show a few weeks ago, and it was the most absurd, ridiculous caller in, the prank caller.
The prank caller who ended up opening up to me.
Yes. Okay, I was watching live, and that was the weirdest thing. Is that available for people to go back and check out?
Yes, I don't remember which episode it was.
Okay, you handled that so well. I mean, what weirdos to call in, and basically what happened was you took a caller, and he, for like maybe one sentence or two, was odd and weird. And he goes, you know what? I can't do this. You're too nice, Dr. Nina. I can't put you through that. And then you're like, well, and you somehow are like throughout the cast and reeled it in to him talking about men's perspective of eating.
Body image.
Yeah, body image.
Eating stuff. Yeah.
And then he opens up and I thought he was going to cry and all that. And I was like, Dr. Nina, you are a pro.
Thank you. That is one of the weirdest calls I've ever had. The other weird call I had was someone called and they're like, hello, is this the dry cleaning? And I'm like,
yes.
You have the wrong number.
You're like, we're going to clean up your diet. That's what we're going to do.
Oh, I should have said that.
Yeah.
So they hang, and then they called up again. I'm trying to reach the dry cleaning. Anyway.
Oh, my God.
It's never a dull moment here.
That's when I always am like, Mom, call me later. This is ridiculous. I'll direct you to the dry cleaners. Oh, you handle calls really well. And Nicole, that I appreciate that call. That was great.
Yeah, Nicole calls every week. And I have to say, Nicole, if you're still listening, which I'm sure you are, that I really appreciate your tenacity and your commitment to changing some of the ideas and ideals that you've held as truths, like starvation is the only way to lose weight, and whatever abs are made in the kitchen means, but you're challenging it. And
she's talking about it too. And I think that's what's really important is so many people don't talk about their insecurities with themselves and their body and their food. And the beginning that conversation is so important. I think people are shocked about it. Like, that I'm an open book, like even with the 30-pound weight loss that I had in a month, it triggered so much for me because back in the day, even as a guy, like I was told I was thunder thighs and, you know, my legs didn't straighten. I can show them on live, but you know the routine, like where you straighten, especially as a guy. And because I'm so built in my quads and my hamstrings, they didn't hyperextend a lot. So that meant for me to only eat like one meal a day. And I would have raw sugar on a spoon and dip it in coffee. Like my habits were hideous, but they're relatable. Like a lot of people have tried to take control of their health and wellness. And that's why going back to it 20 years later, first off, I mean, who gets that opportunity? I'm so grateful.
This is the opportunity to be in the ballet.
Yeah.
Talk about that. And then we want to hear about why you had to lose the 30 pounds and how you did it.
Yeah, because there were specific reasons, not just, you know, ego-based by any means. But so I studied ballet at the Royal Winnipeg Ballet in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada, a very prestigious school and company. And back in the day when I was in my late teens and over 20 years ago. And recently, because they've been following my career and I've been able to do Broadway and then a lot of stuff in LA and then reality TV and such, and I always have a dance perspective with my fitness. So they invited me and my best girlfriend, Catherine Reeford, back, who Catherine was a Broadway star as well. And unfortunately, 6 years ago, she was diagnosed with terminal brain cancer. And she has two young kids, and it's beyond tragic, the story, but the good news is that Catherine's still with us, and she's medically shocking the medical industry, and so they invited us to play Lord and Lady Capulet and go back.
Wow.
But yes, they are acting roles, but you have to have a ballet background and the experience of knowing the structure of a ballet and the dance and the choreography and scene work, which is the acting scenes in a ballet, are even more difficult than the structured dancing, because you not only have to be on your mark and do every move on a certain count, but then you have to have intent behind it. And because we've had these great acting careers, they asked us back to, I think partially to motivate the dancers, because they've always been known as a very artistic company. And for Catherine and I to come back in, I mean, one day we were like, we're going to do this vocally. And the dancers are like, huh? Because dancers are never given permission to even speak. And I'm like shouting at them like, no! And I'm grabbing her and all that. And then they came out of their shell, and the acting is, and the connection was just beautiful. So hopefully we had a good influence with that. But I had to fit into that costume, which is made, I'm 5'10", and before that was about 205 pounds of full on muscle, and the costume is made for someone 155.
Oh my gosh.
Pounds. So I said, realistically, like, I do want to fit into the costume because I have to. And also, if I'm taking company class, which is such a bigger deal than even the show itself, because that's where I could get injured. I mean, my thighs don't go together, or they touch together when I'm in second position because they're so enormous, like my hamstrings. So I needed to cut down my size so I didn't get injured and tear a meniscus or anything like that. So with that in mind, I had about a month, about 4 weeks, 5 weeks to drop some serious weight and size.
Wow.
And I did it. I did it with using a lot of the practical stuff that I've gained knowledge of over the decades of being in this industry. And putting them into motion, because I don't have a weight loss story. I'm a sponge that absorbs everyone's past, you know, journeys and things like that. But I have such an incredible wealth of knowledge and information, which is why I don't even train in the gym anymore. All I do is consultations where people can have access to me over FaceTime, and we talk about their fitness. And then again, tricks of the trade, which always, once implemented with a sane, capable person, always have success. And for me, I got finally a chance of a weight loss journey. However, as I talked about, I'm a bodybuilder, so muscle comes off when you start restricting your calories and such so much quicker and easier than the majority of people out there. And I did that, but I also had my abilities to implement, like I said, the almond milk, or like after I've had 250 to 400 calories for a meal that fed my workouts, I bit into a lemon to stop my cravings. And then I had some water, and then I would have these anaerobes. I stumbled across this AR Fit and Healthy on Instagram. Do you mind if I talk about this? Is this okay?
No, not at all.
Because the meals, the reason why, and it's not like this is some kind of promotion that I'm paid for to get out there, but I think it's a good example. If people look at what the structure is of the meals, is that they're healthy and they're vegetarian based. This is what I've been looking for out there, is like a smaller meal that also, they have like these wheat crisps on the side and pretzel thins that are really low in calorie, but they're the hand to mouth action that is really important so that you have an eating experience.
You don't
Does
feel
that make
deprived.
Sense? Yeah.
It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And then they're also for the food entitled. I have not come across one person in my journey in LA, especially, that doesn't want enjoyment from food, that doesn't need some form of an emotional satisfaction.
But they feel guilty about it.
They do, and they don't have to when it's structured. And this is why I want people to pay attention to the Anna Rose Fit and Healthy Meals, is because there's olives in there. There's a little bit of feta cheese. There's some vinegar with your cucumber and things like that that really satisfy people, and they're savory and delicious. And that's what I want people to still have be able to achieve. So I use those meals, and because they're vegetarian based, and this is what I really recommend for people that are looking to tighten up their body and be healthier, to be honest, is you don't need meat in every single meal. There's protein in a lot of vegetarian options. And then if you have a vegetarian based food, if you're used to filling your stomach with a whole bunch of more food, then have more greens with it. It's free calories. You're going to burn it. And then if you're looking to pack on a little more muscle and dense muscle, have some of your proteins, but have them in one of the two meals in the day. It's not a meal supplement. It's like a meal on the go, but those meal on the go, you can always create on your own too.
And I think you also bring up a really important point, and thank you for letting us know about that. Anna Rose.
Yeah, Anna Rose Fit and Healthy. It's not available. I'm sorry, I'm like mentioning it, and it's not even available for everyone. But in a couple of weeks, apparently, it's going to be available for online purchase. And I do recommend you guys check it out and invest in it and learn.
That's good to know, because I know you're very picky about.
Oh, I am.
Yeah. But you bring up a good point where a lot of people tell me, well, I should see food only as fuel.
Right.
And I say, no, you should not see.
We're humans.
We're not supposed to be like astronauts eating pellets and just getting our nutrition. Food is supposed to be enjoyed, and it should be yummy. And if it's not yummy, don't eat it.
That's why we have the Food Network and Cooking Channel. Please.
But you should this idea that somehow the more that you're eating things that aren't very good, mm-hmm. the better you're being.
Yeah, it's not true. Like, everyone's always shocked when I order heavy cream in my Starbucks coffee, and here it is. I put the heavy cream in because it's going to be enjoyable, and every single taste I have is like, oh, it's just so sweet and delicious. And that heavy cream is actually highly beneficial for me with putting me in a, you know, a mild form of ketosis, where I my body feels like that's a meal first thing in the morning, and it gives me enough energy to do my morning jog of 20 to 30 minutes, and then I'll eat a couple of hours after that. But most people go directly to, oh, I need black coffee, I can't have anything else. And I'm like, no.
Or non-fat something.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's the exact opposite. I mean, I know there's so much information out there, and I don't trust anyone but me. I hate to say that, but I do.
If you don't trust him, trust his mother.
Yes. And my mom doesn't lie, and nor do I. I know what I know, and I also know what I don't know. And I think that's important, because I get asked on a daily basis, oh, can you recommend a trainer? Can you? And I always feel slightly bad. Maybe that's the Canadian in me, but I'm like, no, I can't, because I don't trust what's out there. And if I don't trust what's out there, how is all of you going to trust as well? I mean, there's so much misinformation, and it's not contoured to you, which is why I'm available on social media. I recommend you ask me questions, and as much as I can with the limited time that we have, I will answer. And if you want more time, then I do those hour-long sessions, which really do help.
And if you're listening now and you want to talk to Craig, here he is.
Yeah, call
Give
in.
Us a call, 818-602-4929. Okay, so, Craig, you lose this 30 pounds. You do the ballet. I was following you on Instagram. It looked amazing. Oh, it looked like you had an
so satisfying,
incredible experience. What happened after?
Oh, my gosh. Did I tell you this, or did I?
You told
did
me
you
were
going to.
No, you told me
socials.
You were going to tell me about it today. Oh, yes, okay. I saw part of it, but I don't want to ruin it for you all.
Okay,
listeners.
So, yeah, so basically, this is so relatable to anyone that has ever had a goal of, oh, I want to lose this amount of weight, or I want to look a certain way for a photo shoot. I do not stay the same size. I also have so much different demands for my career that I can't keep consistent with one look. You know, like, I've already packed on 25 pounds of that 30 pounds that I lost. But right away, I could not control my cravings at all. And I had cheese fondue. I went on vacation right after that for like 10 days. And I swear, every single meal, I cheese fondue, I had all this carbs, and I packed on a fanny pack of fat around my midsection. And I was really proud of it too, because I'm like, I am human and this is me. And I'm going to be able to get back on track, but I'm going to give myself this little time frame of just enjoying the foods that I obviously needed and craved. I listened to my body, but I also, again, know how to get back on track. So after the 2 weeks, I packed on about 12 pounds of pure fat on my body. Like, and most people, their ego would just be affected. And no, I'm on socials and I'm like grabbing onto my waistline and going, look at this. And this is our journey. This is how I'm going to quickly get back within a week or two. And I did, because I had a show that I was filming called He's Fit. That's for Out TV and Hey Queen TV. And I had to be in incredible shape. And as a 42-year-old man interviewing mostly 20-year-olds, you know, I wanted to look and feel, more importantly, feel my best, because the first season that I filmed last year of it, I didn't look my best, and it really did affect my work. That doesn't mean I need an 8-pack or a 6-pack. What it means is that I knew I didn't do everything I could to go into that season, that first season, and it was my mental state, and it didn't, my brain didn't connect to my heart, and my words weren't authentic because I wasn't. Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense.
So I got in shape, and then all of a sudden now, like, I'm popping out a 6-pack or an 8-pack for that. So I guess it's about shifting, but I was shocked at how quickly that fanny pack of fat came on.
Well, and it's also about deprivation leads to cravings, and not that you were binging on fondue or whatever.
Oh, I was.
Okay.
Oh, please, yeah.
Deprivation leads to binging.
Oh, it was ridiculous. And I'm like, another loaf of bread, please. Oh, yeah, for sure. And that's because, too, to go back to Nicole's question, I was doing so much exercising, and when your muscles are being atrophied from that kind of behavior, the cravings just become outrageous and you just can't control it. And I'm going to go through it again, because now, as a 42-year-old, it's easy for me to pack on muscle, and a lot of guys out there hate me for that ability, but it also stems from my athleticism from back in the day. As I said, I've never had that overweight to skinny journey, but with my muscle, it's inappropriate. I'm in my 40s, and this is the message I want to give, that a lot of fitness trainers don't when they're in their 40s, because they try and pretend that they're 20, and I'm not. My organs don't know the difference between fat and muscle, and it's stressful on them. My eating, all of that toxicity on my liver and kidneys and such. So I'm restricting, and my goal is to just simply tighten up and show what an appropriate program and physique looks like in your 40s, because we all should enjoy that journey. Regardless of when you're starting, enjoy the body that is appropriate for you to have and accept that. Is that yes. Motivating or unmotivating for people? I guess that's my question.
Might be motivating for some and unmotivating for others, but you're interested in reaching the people who are motivated.
Yeah, I also want to get perspective. It's like, why can't someone in their 40s that we've been around, like, own that? If you didn't have a fantastic physique and you weren't a cheerleader or anything like this, who cares? If you're in your 40s and you've lived, I want to hear the journey that you've been through, like psychologically, emotionally, physically, all of those things, and take ownership. That's why we 50, 60, 70s, etc., own your body and your time that you've had on earth, and then that confidence will come through, and that sexiness, regardless of you having a six pack or two pack or no pack, that doesn't matter. The sexiness, like MJ, for instance, on Chaz's Sunset, she is a body confidence leader, and she's fat shamed on a daily basis, and that's where I step in, and I'm like, no, she's healthier than the majority of the skinny girls out there, and blah blah blah.
Yeah, skinny and, doesn't equal healthy.
Oh, totally doesn't. I mean, I know that from my own experience back in the day too. Yeah. So anyway, I get really passionate and then I get sweaty about it. See, I'm already sweating. I'm showing again on the live. I have
love
no
this
shame.
Passion. But yeah. Your point is also be the best you that you can be. But if you're 42, nobody 42 is going to look like they could if they were 22.
Yeah.
It's just not.
And a lot of
happen.
Times, too, if you're gravitating towards a trainer, this is my thoughts on it, and I'm very opinionated about my experiences and what I've gained knowledge of, but especially if we're talking like gay men, for instance, I see it all the time when they're in their 40s, 50s, and 60s, and they'll gravitate towards a 23-year-old trainer, and no offense and no demeaning the 23-year-old trainer, but also it's like they're trying to advertise that body, and I see it all the time, that they're like, well, you can get this. No, you can't get this. You need to see a trainer, and I'm not me, I'm not in the gym anymore, but you definitely need to see a trainer that is going to be motivating and like possible for you to achieve that kind of
encouraging.
Physique.
Encouraging
and relatable to where you are in your life. And that's not a negative thing, but a lot of gay men are stunted emotionally and mentally because we have been, demeaned and limited, and we haven't been able to, especially romantically, mature, because, you know, back in the day, we couldn't take the same sex to prom. We couldn't date openly. So a lot of those issues show up in the body confidence, and where they haven't grown up since they were 23-year-olds. So they think they're Abercrombie and Fitch age, and mm-hmm. they're gravitating towards that, when if we deal with the emotional and mental stuff of why you're stuck and why you're immature with that kind of thinking, then my hope is people will be empowered and really enjoy where they are in their life, because they deserve it.
Amen to that.
Right.
Wish I had a glass of that wine, even though it is 10:30 in the morning. I would clink with you.
Yeah, we would. Cheers.
And you're talking about self-acceptance. So many times people think, hey, if you change your body, you're going to change your life.
Right.
You know, and when you change your body, you change your body.
Yeah.
You're not going to become more confident if you were shy. You're not going to become outgoing. You're not going to lose the qualities within you. You're
right.
Going to just be you, only smaller.
Right. But the journey of taking care of yourself better is going to chemically make you different. It will. It will give a different aura and energy about you publicly. I think that that's the sexiest thing, is when anyone's on a health journey. And they're communicating it. I'm like, good for you. That's so great. That's appealing to me. The six pack and eight pack, I've enjoyed it in my life. Let me tell you, I've enjoyed it on my body and I've enjoyed it on others. Like, I'm not going to not go there.
There's nothing wrong with an eight pack.
Right. I mean, sexually speaking, I think that it's great. But now, ever since I was in my 30s onward, I just have so much perspective on it. And like, what is sexy? What is relatable? And like something right now I'm going with is because I'm in my early 40s, so many of my girlfriends are at that stage where it's like, do it or you're never going to have children. So a lot of them are new moms. And the whole baby bounce back thing, I'm learning like pre and postnatal care and workout programs, just the pressure of them to bounce, quote, bounce back. And I think it's a serious issue. And I think we need to look at then what are we as a society deeming attractive and sexy that we're putting pressure on people to get back to? You know what
right.
I mean?
Right.
Like being on like clothing, especially style and clothing, like so many women are like, oh, I just want to get back into my sexy clothes. And I'm like that. Well, then get a bigger size and cinch it and wear some Spanx or whatever, if that makes you feel better. But your size is beautiful. Your baby's beautiful.
Right. You just grew a person.
Yeah.
And push Chill. That person out of your body.
Yeah.
Take a moment.
Or definitely that baby came out of you and what a journey and blessing and just ownership. Like, wow, what a beautiful thing my body is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we look at how we look and we forget about how we feel and how magical and amazing it is that we even function. I mean, I recently had a health issue, which I haven't talked about, but I guess I'm talking about it a little bit now.
Ooh.
And it made me, an autoimmune disease that really knocked me for a loop and made me appreciate. I wasn't like, hey, how do I look? I was just, how do I feel and how do I not be in pain?
Yeah.
And it just gave me a whole new perspective on that, which I intellectually already knew, but it forced me into an experiential experience of, wait, no, I just want to be healthy.
Yeah.
I don't want this to get worse. I don't want to die. I don't want to,
priority shift.
Yeah. Total priority shift.
Wow. And I mean, that's so relatable because the majority of people out there, if they haven't already, will eventually all of us encounter health issues that shock the crap out of us. And those, I think, instantly give us that kind of perspective of, oh, wow, what kind of time did I waste, too, on worrying about right. this and that? And when, meanwhile, I'm holding on to life as I know it.
Right. Yeah. It is an instant shift of priorities. And I hope that people don't have a health crisis to make them appreciate
right.
their bodies, like you're
well, learn
whole
from yours,
person.
Learn from mine, learn from other people. I think that's what I'm asking people to do is be a sponge. I'm really excited for when you thoroughly go into what your journey has been, because I think a lot of people are going to be, you know, shocked for starters, but also just motivated and inspired of how you handled it and you know what your journey was as an expert. Because a lot of people just put, you know, you on a pedestal, me on a pedestal, and we're human. It's important for us to share our journeys, too. So, okay, stay tuned, everyone, because that's going to be a good one.
No pressure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right? There's pressure. I'll put pressure
okay.
on you.
I can take the pressure.
I want to dive in deep into that story and that journey and everything that goes into it. I mean, that's sort of what I talk about on my social media, too, sometimes, where I get wrapped up in my head too about certain things of my views. And like, I recently came out with my own Me Too story. I don't know if you saw that, but I was doing an interview and it was, we were talking, can we talk about this?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So I was doing an interview where we were talking about a specific celebrity that's out there and how there was an age difference of like 20 years between the attacker and the person that was abused, and how it was deemed consensual. And I'm like, well, no. And I stepped in and I said, my experience when I was in my early 20s was I was put in a very compromising situation where I had to perform a sex act in order to buy time to figure out what was happening, because it was a Jekyll and Hyde situation, which most times it is. Mm. It's like you get behind a closed door and it's slammed, and then you're like, panicky, and I had to figure out, does he have a gun? Did he drug me? Right. All these things, and I'm performing an act, and then in order to get out of it, if I can go into such detail, I was like, I really am enjoying this. I love it. I want to do this afterwards. Right now is not the appropriate time. We're going to be late for what we were supposed to see, a theater show. And then I said, let's revisit this afterwards. That bide time for me to get out of that situation and then leave. And I've never talked to that mm-hmm. abuser since. Mm-hmm. And I highly doubt to date that person thinks of it as abuse, and definitely thinks of it as consensual, when it's like, no, it wasn't at all. Yeah.
I'm so sorry you had that experience, and it sounds fairly terrifying and awful. And you make a good point that Me Too happens to men and women.
It does, and I'm sensitive to talking about it, because as a guy, and yes, a lot of people look at me like I'm built now. I wasn't built back then. I was really quite slender and small, but I still, and again, these are my personal views, as a man, I still was able to venture into my head, and I'm not saying that women can't do this, but for me, in my body, I was able to analyze, can I kill this person? Can I defend myself? And the answer is yes, like in my head. Yeah. And I can't imagine, and I get, this is where I'm so apprehensive, but I don't want to demean women. But if you're, and I wrote an anatomy book, and in it, I talk about the differences in the structure of, a born male and female, and how that is different, and how there's power behind it when it's properly used. And our strengths and weaknesses with that. And I can't imagine being in that kind of compromised situation where that's not even an option. So that I'm sensitive about. And also, too, like what do we identify as rape? What is sexual abuse? And is my sexual abuse demeaning to someone else's because it's so much less than? And that is the most relatable thing that I got feedback on.
Comparison is the thief of joy. Said Theodore Roosevelt.
Oh.
And if you compare your bad experience to someone else's bad experience, that even if someone else had a more overt rape experience, let's say, that doesn't take away from your experience or anyone else's. So if you felt uncomfortable enough to be thinking, can I kill this person? Hey, that's bad.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the act that I had to perform is horrible, and it was very violent. You know, in nature. But yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because it's true.
Yeah.
No one should have to not take, ownership of what that is and how it affected them.
If it affects you and it affected you in that way, it needs your attention. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if someone else had it, quote unquote, worse.
Yeah.
You actually bring up a point that I've heard often with many people, which is somehow staying big and heavy is a form of protection,
mm-hmm.
and that being thinner, although they may consciously want it, it's scary, as if, mm-hmm. If you're going to lose weight. And the best example of this was a 13-year-old girl who I treated many years ago. I don't treat kids anymore, but she was 200 pounds overweight, and she would not lose weight.
Mm.
And one day she finally, there's a caller, said to me, bad things don't happen to fat girls. Hold that thought. Hi, caller. Wow. You're on with Dr. Nina and Craig Ramsey.
Hello, Dr. Nina, and hello, Craig Ramsey. How are you today?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. You know what I did? I called the other show, because on the website there's the two phone numbers of Channel 1 and Channel 2, and I called the other show saying, hey, is Dr. Nina there? And then this guy Sam was like, oh, no, it's the wrong show.
Well, you got the right number now.
Oh, poor Sam. Everyone do that right now. Call Sam.
No, come on, Craig, you little ne'er-do-well.
Yeah, I'm definitely causing drama. What's your name, sorry?
My name's Terry.
Terry, what's your question?
Well, are you guys familiar with the Bristol stool chart?
I'm not. No. Can you share it with us?
Dr. Nina, you know about the Bristol chart?
I do not.
So it's basically a chart that charts stool. So it sort of gives idea of what consistency your stool is based on probably your diet and number of other things. And I'm dealing with the type 7 consistently. Type 7 is liquid consistency with no solid pieces. And I was curious if you could help me to potentially get to a type three or a type four.
Yeah, well, for me, not knowing that system, or
Well,
diagnosis.
type three is a sausage shape with cracks in the surface. Type four is like a smooth, soft sausage or a snake.
Okay, thank you.
I think it's great that your aunt like that the tip here is definitely pay attention to your bathroom habits and what is coming out. I think that that is important to do.
Yeah.
Men are so much more comfortable about talking about this too, I have to
We
say.
can
Do
talk
you?
about baby poop, but after a kid is like out of diapers, we have trouble.
I'm
It's
so fine
true.
with talking about it. Like if I'm Canadian, South Park, Terrence and Phillip, poop, all that kind of poop humor, I just enjoy and
I don't
love
mean
as a
to
guy.
poo-poo your question,
I actually had a workout
Terrence.
series that
You're a
was.
Canadian? Where are you from in
I'm
Canada?
from Windsor, Ontario, Canada, and I created it was called the Crappy Workout Series. Do you know this on YouTube?
I do
Which was
not.
like 10 ep no 7 episodes of each episode is dedicated to workouts you can do while sitting on the toilet. And women, I thought women were going to love it. Nope, they did not. They were so
No.
like not offended because they thought it was funny, but they just didn't want to engage in it in any capacity. But men are like, "Oh my God, you should see this guy. He's ridiculous, and it's so much fun." And but my whole point of that was to undercover fitness, things that people can do. Of course, not while they're sitting on the can, but put that in their consciousness. But let's get back to
What
your
type
poop.
are you? What type are you?
I'm. What I don't know, I
Handsome and engaging.
things always vary, and that's why my body always shifts and changes. But this is definitely one of those questions that should be by your specific medical professional. Like as a trainer, whenever there's something that is out of my experience and or knowledge, it's not something that I can really analyze. Or
Yeah.
what I'll say is
I'm
and.
not even allowed at my doctor anymore, though.
You're not because of your relationship.
No, because I done took a crap in the waiting room.
Okay. You know what,
Oh. This is
Terry?
again
Thank you for your
the prank
call. The
caller.
prank caller. Yeah. I thought
Hey,
so.
poop happens, people. And I think that's really valuable, even if that guy is that prank caller again, which it's funny how it never is funny, like their initiative to be funny, but it's actually very valuable information. And I have to say that, like with poops, I get it all the time where people don't tell me what's going on. And a lot of times their doctor can really help them get on track, especially like chemically, if they communicate that. I've been known, especially with bladder issues. Like there was one client that I had that had babies, many babies, and when she was on a treadmill and she's so insecure about the feeling of having to pee, but nothing was coming out. And so I study women's issues, so I had a sensitivity to it, not of course an experience being a woman with that situation. But standing next to the treadmill, I pissed my pants in support. And I was like, what's the worst that's going to happen? I'm going to clean up your piss and it's going to come off the treadmill and it will be like a cute little waterfall and we're going to survive it. And because you're on this health weight loss journey, I'm going to teach you that it's going to be okay. So if a little leaks out, that's fine because look at me. And it was purely soaked. And she was like, oh my God. At first, she's like, you're crazy. And then she started crying. And then she's like, thank you so much. That meant so much, that meant so much to me.
Well, you're talking about shame and how we shame ourselves for
In
thinking
our bodies, yeah.
our bodies are so shameful, and maybe we got that message as children. I'm a psychoanalyst, so of course I go to toilet training trauma. But
Yeah.
Terry, if you're still listening,
Yeah, Terry.
Terry, but to mitigate shame and to question shame and to just say, hey, really, what is so shameful?
Yeah.
Is it so shameful? And we're all human. We all got stuff. And so what?
You know what's shameful? Calling in and talking about poop if you don't mean it, because people have that issue.
Yeah,
Moron.
Terry. I'm going to memorize your phone number. You're not going to be
Yeah,
allowed
you're
to call
blocked,
back.
Terry.
You're
From us and
blocked.
Sam. We're going to tell Sam to block you too.
208 something, no more.
No
You're
more.
not getting past me.
Yeah.
But regardless, I mean, we've certainly covered a lot today. We have like one more minute left, but
That's
I
it.
just want to thank you so much for being here today and for really going deep and not just, that's why I love having you. You don't just
Oh,
stay
thank
in
you.
the hey, let's talk about how to
the safe
work
zone.
Out. The safe zone. We don't want to stay the safe zone. Here's what I think about the safe zone. No, we don't like the safe zone.
Oh, that's cute.
We like to go where things can change. So tell us where people can find you.
Yeah, on social media, Craig Ramsey Fit, and my last name spelt like Gordon Ramsay, R-A-M-S-A-Y. And also, you can find me, and this is very valuable, if you're interested in picking my brain for a whole hour, it's what I do now professionally. I have 3 days of every month that are dedicated towards giving people these social media FaceTime opportunities. So just, message me through social media, and I'll give you that information.
Great. And it would be amazing to have that one-on-one. So I hope you guys can take advantage of that. And that is our show today. Thank you so much for joining me here on the Dr. Nina Show. I am here every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific. If you like the show, please, please leave us a rating at iTunes, or I guess it's called Apple Podcasts now. Go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a rating and a review, because the more that we get, the more we can reach people and do some good out there in the world.
I love you and what you do.
I love you too. Mwah. Bye, everyone.
You're listening to The Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle-Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.